Hi, and welcome to the Church Unlimited podcast. Church Unlimited is a vibrant, Bible-based church in North Lakes, Queensland that is passionate about helping people discover the genuine love of Jesus. If you're currently looking for a home church, we would love for you to join us for Sunday worship. For more information about our Sunday service or to find out how we can best help you, head to our website at churchunlimited.com.au. We hope you enjoy this message from Sunday service.
We have started our series a couple of weeks ago called Church on Mission. And we've been talking about what we as a church on mission are called to be about. We really highlighted that verse in Matthew 4:19 when Jesus says to his disciples, "Come, follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men." And we said that that really is kind of the mandate that Jesus lays out in one sentence to his disciples. Come, follow me. I'll make you a fisher of men. And for us as a church, we understand that that is so important. Come. Come means come know me. Come know me. Come get away with me. I think it's so important that we come to church. And the reason that we come to church is because that's just us getting out of the rhythm of our normal lives, and we're coming away with God once a week on the first day of the week. You need to be coming away with God in your quiet time. You need to be coming away with God in worship. I need to be coming away with God to know Him. Then He says, follow me. That means belong with me. Come belong in my family. Aren't you so glad that we get to belong in the family? And I know Paula preached a great message a couple of weeks ago about belonging in the family of God. And we like that as it relates to our Heavenly Father, but we're not so sure about that as it relates to each other, because that makes you like my brother and sister. And we've got to work that out in the family of God. But I'm so glad that I'm called to the family of God, because I'm stronger in the family of God. I'm not stronger on my own. I'm stronger in the family of God. Yeah. Well, this week I want to talk to us about come and I will make you. I will make you. And to us, this is growing to become like Jesus. Growing to become like Jesus. That He would make us to be the men that we're called to be. I'm not in love with the Barbie movie that just recently got released. I unfortunately watched that with my daughters. And yes, okay, the plot was so silly and the movie is just ridiculous. But one of the things that I really struggle with was the way that that movie depicted what men could look like. And I think society is trying to teach us this is what a man looks like and this is what a woman looks like. In fact, it's so flipping fluid. Just go with what you feel like. And for us, I'm not left to my own devices. I will make bad choices. I've proven that time and time again. But when I follow Jesus and I allow Him to make me, we have this idea that Jesus is this effeminate social worker. That Jesus, you know, He's just out just helping everybody and taking care of everybody and making sure that everybody's okay. And Jesus is nice all the time. I would encourage you to go back and read the Gospels. Jesus had moments of strong masculinity. And I looked at Jesus for what it's like to become a man. And I think God is teaching us what we're to become as men, as women, as husbands, as wives, as mothers and fathers, as leaders. What does it look like to make it? Well, it looks like following Jesus and allowing Him to work on us. Come follow me and I will make you a fisher that you can serve Him. We'll talk about that next week. A fisher of men or a fisher of people that we would tell others about Him. Because ultimately, When you know the Lord and you know His goodness, you can't help but talk about Him. It just flows out of you. It's just a major part of who you are. But today I do want to talk to us about letting Him make us. And following Jesus ultimately means that I need to start to look like Jesus. You become like those you hang around. You become like those you hang around. And I really hope that after, 24 years of following Jesus, I look like him a little bit more. I sound like him a little bit more. I think like him a little bit more. I behave like him. That my life would be a better reflection of Jesus. Because he's making me. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, it says that we are to be equipped for the work of the ministry till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. We are to become to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. If that doesn't say that the bar is set pretty high. But that's the goal, that we're to become like Jesus, to the measure of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be little children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine. I'm going to insert in the James Hensley version, it says the wind of doctrine or feelings. Because we don't often get off with our doctrine, we get off with our feelings. And then we conform our doctrine to fit our feelings. Oh, well, we could actually put this in here by the trickery of men. I trick my own self. My feelings, my immature feelings trick myself. In the cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting, but speak the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. We're to grow up. We're to mature. When I was in Sunday school, I learned what it meant to be a child of God. My Sunday school teacher used to teach me, this is what a child of God is like. Well, I'm not a child of God anymore. I'm a man of God now. I have been growing with the Lord over the last 24 years. He's been maturing me and growing me up. And I've had to go on this journey of going from being a child of God, which I'm still always his son, but there's a maturing process that takes place, no longer like a child just tossed about to and fro, having little tantrums every time I don't get my way, but that I'm growing up. Now, the problem that, or the hard thing of transitioning between a child of God and a man of God is being an adolescent of God. That's where we're a bit gangly and a bit awkward and, we're getting a bit of spiritual hair and, the toxins inside of you are starting to show up on your face. It's what happens when you mature, right? You grow up. It's so important that we understand that this is not a demand or a command from God. Oi, come follow me. Let me make you, mate. Come on, grow up. Mature, become better. This is actually an invitation. He's not commanding us or demanding us. He's inviting us. These guys didn't have to go with Jesus. They willingly chose to go with Jesus, knowing that if they would go with him, he would make them. And I have found over the last 24 years in my spiritual walk, that as I walk with the Lord and follow his invitation, oh man, well, I stand before you as a miracle. I am a wonderful miracle. Maturing in Christ is definitely not easy. You got to get rid of some bad habits. You've got to make some new habits. Got to get rid of some old mindsets. You got to become the new creation. You got to understand the things of God. Got to understand the Bible. It's not easy to mature. And I'm so glad that God is gracious in all of that with us. Because sometimes I think we can be a bit hard on ourselves. We can be a bit hard. Oh, I know better than that. Can I tell you, I make the same mistakes over and over and over and over again. And I've learned with God that he is so gracious and so kind. He just keeps inviting me to keep following him. And maybe you were once a great follower of Jesus, but now you're kind of not in the same cutting edge place that you used to be in. Shake it off. Just start following better. Just get closer. Let's just get a little closer. Because the closer I am to Jesus, the more I'm becoming matured to the fullness of Christ. I've got a great verse that I just wish we could all hold on to. In Philippians 1:6, it says, "Be confident of this very thing." Be confident. Be secure. Be strong. Be confident of this very thing. "That he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." There is no full stops with God. You might have felt like you've got a full stop in your life. Maybe you've fallen down. Maybe you blew things up. All right. Well, you can get back up again. He wants to keep working in you. He wants to keep working on you. And if God's working on you, well, you and I should also be working on you and me. I should be working on me as well. I need to keep growing. Now, growing up is not easy. I remember being a kid and couldn't wait to grow up. You know, when you grow up, you know, you didn't have to take naps anymore. Whew. I miss the good old days. Remember when you were a kid and you just couldn't wait to drive? Now driving's a pain. Remember when you couldn't wait to be done with school? Oh, I would do anything to go back to school. No responsibility. Just passing a science test seems really easy compared to the trials of adulting. Adulting is not easy. Adulting is hard. The struggle is real. Winston Churchill, the Prime Minister of England in World War II, is quoted one time for saying, "Life is just one damn thing after the next." I don't mean to be profane, but gee, that's such a good quote. It's just one trial after the next. It's one thing after the next. It's like, come on, life is so challenging. If it's not work, it's the kids. If it's not money, it's your body. If something is giving you grief at any given moment. Just when I think my life is hard, I'm reminded of Joseph in the book of Genesis. Maybe you remember Joseph. In the beginning, he's young and idealistic. He's the favorite of his father. He has this great coat that he's been given that is better than all of his brother's coats. And Joseph has been treated so well as a child. He starts to have these dreams. He has dreams that the sun and the moon and the stars will bow down before him. And he has another dream that the sheaves of wheat, which represents his brothers, will even bow down before him. Joseph starts to believe his own hype. And I reckon Joseph was an arrogant little younger brother. You know, that the favorite, the baby in the family. Joseph was a pain. And scripture shows us that his brothers didn't really like him that much. And they sold him into slavery, if you don't know. Joseph's story pretty much goes from bad to worse. His brothers sell him out, literally sell him to the Midianite slavers. The Midianite slavers sell him to an Egyptian man named Potiphar. Potiphar's wife, some old cougar, tries to crack onto him. He runs for the hills, but she grabs his tunic. Tie your tunics, boys. She grabs his tunic. He runs off naked. She's got his tunic, and she's now upset. So she claims he tried to rape her. Well, Potiphar's ticked. So Potiphar persecutes him to the point that he gets put in jail. This story is going from bad to worse. In jail, he makes some friends. Those friends get released from jail, and they promise that they would remember him, but they don't remember him. He gets left in jail, wrongfully accused. Eventually, God remembers him. or so he thinks God. Can I just tell you? You might feel like God's forgotten you. I'm telling you, he hasn't forgotten you. Sometimes we're left in desolate places. God has not forgotten you. Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, has these dreams, and these dreams are so complicated and so perplexing, and no one can interpret these dreams, and yet Joseph's mates from jail remember that Joseph is a dream interpreter. And so they go and get Joseph, and they bring him to interpret Pharaoh's dream. And he does. And he earns incredible favor with Pharaoh. And he literally saves Egypt from a horrible famine. And his life at the end is actually a life of incredible victory. But it didn't look like that all along the way. In the end, Joseph meets up with his brothers. And they're shocked because they're literally bowing down before him as he's the number two in command of Egypt. They're terrified of him, thinking that Joseph's going to smash them. And Joseph actually shows kindness and mercy towards them. All of that was designed to build Joseph to become who he needed to become so that he could ultimately outwork the greater things that God had on his life. Now, let me hear me clearly today. I'm not telling you that God is doing bad things in Joseph's life to teach him lessons. Because I just don't think God is mean or vindictive. God doesn't do stuff like that to us. But the trials of life, on our own, we left to our own devices, we make things hard for ourselves and we make things hard for each other. And so whilst God wasn't orchestrating those circumstances, I think God was absolutely using those circumstances to build Joseph, to mature Joseph, to become the person that he was called to be. A young Joseph could never have saved Israel if he didn't grow up. Gideon could have never led the army if he didn't grow up. David couldn't have led Israel if he didn't grow up. If you remember David's story, David was anointed as a young boy, but then he also went through hell to get to become the person that he was supposed to become. Simon could have never become Peter if he didn't grow up. Saul could have never become Paul if he didn't grow up. Growing up is a critical part of our faith. Maturing is a critical part of our faith. And ultimately, I love comfort and ease. But growth doesn't often happen in comfort and ease. Progress, advancement, more increase don't often happen on the other side of ease. They happen on the other side of hard. The greatest marriages have come through trial. It doesn't mean that you've had a perpetual honeymoon for the entirety of your marriage. Parenting. Some of the most important moments of my life as a father have come through hardship with my kids. And many of you have probably heard this statement before, but there's been a statement getting around that says hard times produce strong men. Strong men produce easy times. Easy times produce weak men. And weak men produce difficult times. I think we're living in a day and age where we're in difficult times, and it's only getting worse. It's only getting worse. And it's because weak people who are immature and who are feelings-led are making decisions that are literally eroding the fabric of our great country and globally. And I think God is looking for strong men and strong women who have matured in Christ, who can take a stand for the strong things of God, so that we can really bring change in our world. And change ultimately starts with me. Progress and growth are often on the other side of hard. It's in the pushing, it's in the resistance that we grow. We grow muscle in the gym by pushing against, pushing weight. We grow. Could it be that all the things that you've pressed against in your life up until this moment are not designed to break you, but are designed to actually make you? Could it be that you have been building muscle that you don't even know that you're building? Could it be that God is growing you and maturing you through all the stuff that you've been through? Let's look at plants or flowers. They grow the most through fertilizer and pruning. Yes, water and sun. But if you really want to stimulate growth, dump some poop on it. Some of you have had a significant amount of poop dumped on you. You come to church and you still smell a little. Metaphorically, you can see it on their face. This is the face of "I just got dumped on this week." I just want to speak the name of Jesus over all the crap on my life. Pruning. Pruning looks like being cut. Pruning looks like when God's cutting dead things off of our lives to bring the life out of us. Well, when you cut, you bleed. It's also extremely painful. Some of us, we can't even lift our arms because we've been so cut this week. We've been pruned back. I'm like, I don't even know if I have any worship to give. I don't even want to go to church. I'm too wounded this week. Can I encourage you that God actually is using all of that to build you, to grow you? I think Paul has some really, really good insight to this in Romans chapter 5. If you've been a Christian any length of time, chances are you've heard this passage before, but I want to invite you to hear it afresh again. In Romans chapter 5, it says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." And not only that, but we also glory or rejoice in our tribulations, our trials, our hardships, our tough times, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because of the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. He says, rejoice in the glory and the goodness of God and in your trials and in all the uncomfortable times of your life. Can you worship and give thanks to God when there's another shovel of poop being dropped on your head? Can you worship when you've been pruned so hard that you can only raise one arm? Can you start to see it not as life is beating me down, but can you see that God is working to build me and mature me and grow me up in my faith that I would not just be a little child tossed about to and fro. A couple of things. Number one, hardship builds perseverance. This life is full of quitters. We think it's so easy to quit. Oh, you didn't make the first team in basketball, you made the second team in basketball. I quit. Oh, your marriage wasn't easy in the first couple of years. I quit. That job, oh, that is not what I signed up for. Quit. We're really good quitters. I know, because I'm one. I fight quitting all the time. Joseph is called of God with amazing dreams. But Joseph could have never stepped into those dreams if he didn't learn how to persevere through everything that life threw at him. He had to develop his resilience, his toughness, not easily broken, not given to compromise at the first temptation that came his way. Perseverance is really hard. That's why it says, don't grow weary in doing good, for in due season you'll reap. It says that because it's really easy to grow weary. Just to keep doing good, keep doing good, keep doing good, keep doing good. Well, I had a good marriage last year. When do I get to have? Well, I grew last year, Lord. When can I have a day off? There's no days off. Joseph went through all that, sold out by his brothers, slavery, falsely accused, thrown in jail, and he never quit. He never quit. Our God is the God of the overcomer. He never quit. Easter celebrates that he never quit. Even when things were taken out of his hands and were out of his control, he still resurrected. Because he doesn't have quit in him. There is a grit that was so admirable about Jesus. I often think that we overlook it because we think so much about salvation. But as a man, I look at what Jesus went through. And he just never quit. I'm so glad that he never quit on me. As dads, we can't quit. Moms, I know it's hard. You can't quit. Keep fighting forward. The miracle is on the other side. Over the last 24 years, I've learned that God can work with failure. God can work with weakness. He can work with foolishness. Did you know that God can even work with stupid? You know what he can't work with? Quitters. People who remove themselves. Look at Peter. Simon, the weak little reed, matures to grow up to become Peter the Rock, who denies in his lowest moments. But he doesn't quit. And he lets Jesus restore him and lift him up again. And he goes on to do amazing things for God. Look at Judas. Terrible moment of failure. Sells Jesus out. So overcome with his own stupidity, his own shame, his own, I can't believe I did that. Scripture says he hung himself. He took himself out. He did not even allow Jesus the opportunity to lift him back up again. The difference between Peter and Judas, they both betrayed Christ. But Peter just decided he wasn't going to quit. He stayed the course and he allowed God to mature him so that he could become the man that he was supposed to become. I don't make a boast about many things in my life. Sometimes when I look at my own life, I can see the low moments far more than I can see the high moments. But I've just determined in my heart, I can't quit. I can't quit on my wife. I can't quit on the Lord. I can't quit on my kids. I just can't quit. Just don't quit. Develop that perseverance, that toughness, that grit that says, I'm going to do it anyway. And I'm going to let the Lord make me in the process. Oh man, I'm so much stronger than I used to be. And I think that's just because I didn't quit. It's not because I'm awesome. It's just sometimes I'm so stupid I don't know when to quit. Two, hardships refine character. Nothing like the refiner's fire to find out what you really got going on inside of you. When I came to Jesus, I was weak. I was a manipulator. I was a user. I was a compromiser. And God's been building me over the last 24 years. He's been refining my integrity, my character. He's been helping me to bear the fruits of the Spirit. Sometimes when I'm not so fruitful, I get pruned so that I can bear more fruit. But He's working on my character. Maybe there's not a whole lot of kindness about my life. Well, might get a little bit of extra fertilizer that week to bring out the fruits, if you know what I mean. And I've just found in my life that God is not just messing me up. He's building me. That going through that trial is actually designed that my character would be more fruitful, that I would be more secure, more assured, more anchored. I want to encourage you. Allow Him to make you. Allow Him to make your character. Allow Him to build your inner woman or your inner man so that you can be strong. Number three, hardship releases hope. What? Hardship releases hope. Are you kidding me? I don't think that Joseph sitting in prison going, yeah, this is all going to work out. I think Joseph's going, how the flip did I get in this prison? I didn't even rape that woman. I'm a victim of her false accusation. It's her fault. In fact, it's not even her fault. I wouldn't even have been at Potiphar's house if it wasn't for my stupid brothers. And in prison, at his lowest moment, he's blaming the butler who forgot him. He's blaming. Maybe he isn't. Maybe he was maturing to the point where he understood that God was breaking him to actually make him. And with eyes of hope, this is what he says. As a matured Joseph, knowing that all these people conspired against him and everything that happened to him was not actually his fault. This is what he says in Genesis 50. Joseph says to his brothers, "Do not be afraid, for I'm in the place of God. For am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good in order to put things to bring things about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. What a mature perspective. Think about the person that's betrayed you the most, that person that screwed you in business, your ex-wife, your ex. Think about that person that bullied you at school. Think about all those people, that bank that denied the home loan. Think about all of it. Will you one day get to a place of maturity where you can look back on that with hope and see how that made you? Or are you going to get to the end of your life and go, oh, Frank, I hate Frank. Frank Stra. I'm convinced that that little white dog next door is building me for greater things. Are you identifying as a victim of all the things that have gone wrong in your life? Or do you have eyes of hope that says, actually, this is terrible, but I just know God. And if He's the comeback God, then there's probably some comeback story for me in all of this. I've got hope that there's going to be a victory on the other side of all this pain. As you grow up, you start to mature. You start to see things differently. You don't see that all this rubbish has happened. You say, actually, hang on a minute. That's all been building me. It's all been building me. Romans 8:28. What a mature verse. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and those who are called according to His purposes. If you love God and you're called according to His purposes, don't worry. He's working things behind the scenes. And you can be covered in a fresh heap. Or you can be pruned so hard that you don't know what to do with yourself. But you can take confidence in the Lord that He is somehow going to work this out. Did He do it? Did He shovel it on your head? Did He cut you? No. That's not how the Lord works. But does that happen? Yes, absolutely. But can you see with eyes of faith that says, no, the Lord is going to work this out on my behalf? Here's the last one. I invite the worship team to come. Hardships prepare us for our God appointments. It says, and hope does not disappoint. It does not disappoint. That's a double negative. Let me say that differently. Hope actually appoints us in our God appointments. That when God is working on me, He's actually building me to become the very man that I needed to be in that season. Let me encourage you with this, that every season that you've come out of is building you to become who you need to be in the next season.
Amen. Come on.
Joseph, favorite of his father, sold into Potiphar's house. Well, it actually says that he became the chief of Potiphar's house. That all of that actually led to an appointment, a leadership appointment. And then he's falsely accused and it goes bad again and he's put in jail. But then it says he actually rises in leadership in jail and he becomes the chief of all the prisoners. And then when he goes before Pharaoh, he's there to interpret a dream. But God elevates him to be number two in the land. Leading in Potiphar's house and leading in prison led to him leading with Pharaoh. Dreams as a young man, interpreting the dreams of those in prison, led to him interpreting dreams of Pharaoh. Overcoming hardship, overcoming slavery, overcoming false accusation, overcoming prison led to him overcoming famine. Joseph's dreams were realized. just not at all how he thought. Everything that he had been going through was building him for his next season. God didn't bring you this far just to bring you this far. He's brought you this far to build you so that you can thrive in this season. You can thrive in hardship. You might have been getting dumped on, just shovel after shovel. Ha ha. Start rejoicing. There is going to be some incredible fruit. You might have been cut, sliced, and diced. People, disappointments, discouragement, hardship, things that were outside of your control. God is not abandoning you. He's building you. He's developing you. For me as a child, I had a rough childhood. I grew up in domestic violence. God's used that to help me minister to people. I moved so much as a child. I went to 13 different schools. I used to hate that. And I used to be so mad at God for that. I look at my life now and I go, well, I'm really good at remembering people's names. God's using that to build me. The faith to come to Australia is the faith that I needed to plant churches. I went and took a dog leg right from being a youth pastor over here to being a Bible college principal. I was the most underqualified Bible college principal on the earth. I had no idea why I was leading a Bible college. God was developing my theology. He was developing my understanding of the Word. He was developing me. The poor students. I feel bad for all of my students because they thought they were there to learn. Nope, that was just an 8-year cycle of me learning so that I can now become who I am supposed to become today. All the things that you've been through in your life are not wasted. The wounds of your past can now become tools in your tool belt that help you succeed in this life. Come on, would you stand to your feet? Lift your hands and just close your eyes. I want to read this over us one more time. And not only that, but we also glory. We rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that our tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint, but it appoints, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Lord, I know that there would be people here, and every person here has a story. And all of our stories have low moments, Lord. And some of us have been left scratching our head, trying to figure out why that happened, or even angry about that being done to us. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I thank you that you can work all those moments together for good, and you can use that to bring us into life abundant. And so right now I speak your peace, God. I just sense that there are people in the room, and when I was talking before about persevering and not quitting, that there were people in the room and you've literally been thinking about quitting. Maybe you've been thinking about quitting your marriage. Just be easier if you weren't raising those kids. Quitting your job. Quitting church, quitting life. And I just want to speak right now that do not grow weary in doing good. You might not be doing great, but you're doing good because you're still standing. Congratulations, you made it to today. Your marriage made it to today. Your children made it to today. You made it to today. Right now, I just speak hope over every person in the room. Faith, let fresh faith arise. That, Lord, in the midst of every trial, in the midst of every hardship, teach us how to see. Mature us to see these things the way Paul sees these things. Right now, I know that there would be people in the room and you've really wrestled with a victim mindset. And I don't want to embarrass you, but I don't want you to go further without getting that broken off your life. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to hold an altar call and I'm going to open the altar call. And if you're here and you have wrestled with feeling betrayed, victimized, that somebody has done something to you, it's their fault. I want to invite you to come and exchange that mindset for a mindset of hope, a faith mindset. And it might feel really embarrassing because you're like, gee, people might be looking around. They might be looking at me. Okay. How bad do you want God to deliver you and set you free? I'll tell you right now, there have been so many times in my life where I have identified with the victim. But I need to mature in Christ and start to identify with the victor. I am not going to be a victim in my life anymore. I want God to set me free. And so if that's you, I would love the opportunity to pray for you and lay hands on you. If you've said in your life, I feel like a victim. I feel like it's all that I just can't get a leg up. I can't get ahead. Everybody, it's all working against me. If that's you and you're in this place, I want to pray with you and believe God for supernatural deliverance over your life. We're going to invite the worship team just to lead us in a song here. And as we do, I want to pray for people. And then after that, I want to give people an opportunity. But hold on, actually, let me change that. Before we pray for people, I'd like to give people an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you would say, you know what? I don't even know God. I don't even know him. I don't know his grace, his forgiveness. I didn't know that there was a God that was for me. Maybe you think God is against you. Well, I'm here to tell you, mate, that God is not against you. God is not against you. Life is hard. I don't know how people go through life without having God in their life. One time a guy thought that he was insulting me by saying, James, Christianity is just a religion for the weak. And I said, bro, you have no idea. You have no idea. I'm so weak. I need Jesus to be my strength. And so I'm wondering if there are people in the room and you would say, James, I don't know Jesus, or I'm not in a right relationship with Jesus. I'm not a follower of Jesus. If that's you, I'd love the opportunity to lead you in a prayer right now and introduce you to him. Maybe we could just bow our heads just for a moment. If that's you and you say, James, I need to pray. I need to do business with God this morning. I need to invite Jesus into my life. I would like to lead you in a prayer right in your chair, right where you're at. And just so I know who I'm praying with, if that's you, would you just give me a little wave right now? I'll see your hand and then you can put it back down again. I don't want to embarrass you this morning, but I don't want to close this meeting without providing you that opportunity. You don't have to go through this life on your own. You can go through this life knowing that God is for you and God is with you. Would there be one this morning that would say, James, I need to pray. I need to receive him this morning. Okay. Father, I thank you that you see every person's heart here today. And Lord, I thank you that when you see us, you don't look at us with eyes of shame. You look at us with eyes of longing. Longing that we would come. Longing that we would follow you. And God, I ask you, Lord, that as you see every heart here today, that you would speak to each person individually about their next step in following after you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. We pray that you and your family are richly blessed by the love and grace of Jesus. If you're ever in the area, we would love for you to join us for Sunday worship.